This is a production of Cornell University.
I now call the meeting to order at 4:32 p.m. Tuesday, February 12th. First, I would like to welcome two new faculty members onto our assembly. Would you two like to give a short introduction of who you are? We'll start with Ellis Lowe.
Ellis Lowe, up in biomedical sciences. Been here since 1975. Been on and off the university assembly for about 30 years. So, that's me.
Welcome. And we also have Ron Booker.
I'm from Neurobiology and Behavior. I've been here since, 89 or something like that. And I've never been on this committee, so on this body, so it would be interesting.
All right. Nice to have you both.
Neurobiology and Behavior. You have a lot of scientists on this board.
Yeah.
So we have a good perspective on almost everything.
Yeah, it might be really helpful to go around and introduce ourselves briefly, just saying what assembly we're from and who we are.
Mitch, do you want to start?
Yeah, I'm Mitch Payne. I'm a president of the Graduate and Professional Student Assembly, and I'm a second year master's student in my final year in city and regional planning.
I'm Jerry. I'm a large grad of Senate Assembly, and for UA, I am one of the undergraduate representatives of UDA, the two other
students. Greg Mezzi, I'm the director of food and beverage at the Chandler Hotel. I'm on the employee assembly, and I also chair the Codes and Judicials Committee for the UA.
I'm Rachel Sackler. I work with Residential Event Services, and I'm the vice chair of the UA and chair of the Infrastructure Committee.
Hi, I'm Alex Morris. I'm the undergraduate student trustee.
I'm Adam Gitlin, undergraduate student trustee.
I'm Peter Scalpo. I'm a student assembly undesignated rep.
Randy Wayne, faculty rep.
Jim Blair, employee assembly rep.
Amy Gales, undergraduate UA rep.
Kyle Albert, I'm a graduate student of sociology and representing UCLA.
Ari Epstein, the Assistant Director of the Assembly's Office.
Amy O'Donnell from the Assembly's Office also.
And Noah Wegener, I'm the clerk from the Assembly's Office.
Bob Kay, I'm the Earth and Atmospheric Sciences and faculty representative.
And on the EB.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm Liz Newberry, I'm a Communication PhD appointed from the GPSA, and I'm the Executive Vice Chair of the UA.
Hi, I'm Joy. I'm the undergrad UA rep. I am currently the chair of the UA. And that's introduction. Thank you, everyone. Next, we have the approval of the minutes from 2 weeks ago. So is there any corrections for Tuesday, January 29th,
2013?
Jim?
Page 4, says Jim Blair or Jay Blair reiterated a lack of tennis wounds.
Okay, yep.
I believe that really did say Jay Blair reiterated and then add words that when manpower is short, comma, assemblies focus their efforts. Delete the rest of sentence one. Sentence two starts with it is important add four committees to continue to work despite vacancies. And then the beginning of sentence three, separately, comma, you brought up, which is a totally separate issue, the Title IX sentence.
Amy, do we have all of that?
Yeah, I think it's the first sentence. I'm sorry, say that again, reiterated.
Jim Blair reiterated that when manpower is short, comma, capital assemblies focus their efforts, period. Delete the rest of the first sentence. It is important, in the second sentence, it is important for committees to continue to work despite vacancies, period. Third sentence, separately, comma, he.
Are we good?
Yeah.
Any further revisions?
Well, do we need to vote on?
Well, I'm going to vote on the minutes as of now.
I would say if there's, we can just ask if there's any opposition to that.
And any opposition to that change? All right. Any opposition to approving the minutes of Tuesday, January 29th, 2013, with revisions? I hear none, and the minutes have been approved. Next, we have reports on the assembly, starting with the executive board with Liz.
So, we had a meeting, and the UA membership should have received an email with the EB identifying specific target issues for us to address as a body this particular semester. These issues were mostly drawn from A, conversations that we had last semester with the guest speakers that we brought in, such as the diversity panel of students, Kathy Zoner coming in to discuss safety issues. But I also tried to identify from the actions that the various assemblies have been putting forth, the resolutions that they have been generating this particular year, broader themes. So that was the crux of the email. If you give me just a second, I can bring it up and just go through briefly the list. So some of the topics that we identified were issues of public safety, specifically like late night transportation. Joy is working on a resolution about security cameras and other safety measures on campus and collaboration with Kathy Zoner. Issues of diversity, specifically responding to initiatives that the SA has brought up with their discussion around the student diversity affairs. Issues of child care and elder care, MOOCs, the budget model that was recently implemented, green initiatives on campus, such as like composting and that sort of thing. And then on-campus housing, specifically, as we heard at the diversity panel, support for program houses, and also graduate student living. These are all sort of itemized in the email to membership, but mostly the reason for bringing that up is because, as we discussed last time, if you have a inkling about an issue that you would like to work on, that would and would like to help with generating a resolution or would like to propose a resolution to the body, the EB would greatly encourage and, in fact, support such an initiative on your behalf. So if you are interested in any of those topics or would like to suggest any topics to bring before the UA, please feel free to contact me after the meeting, and I'm happy to chat with anyone.
All right. Thank you, Liz. Adam, for the student assembly.
Sure. A couple key issues from the past couple weeks from the SA. One, we were excited to hear about the president's support behind the revolving fund, which could be, if the details are worked out, a sort of $1 million loan where the interest from that would go into doing different various sustainability projects around the university. We're excited to hear that, and a couple of undergraduates are going to be working, and hopefully more input and image on sort of this new initiative as the semester continues. Another thing that we passed last week was a resolution in support of the university divesting from the fossil fuels industry, from the endowment. There's a lot of, especially from the environmentalist and activist community, a lot of support behind that. Another thing from a couple weeks ago is a resolution about crisis management follow-up. A lot of, there isn't an official part of, if someone has a crisis, such as a very bad illness, a bias incident, injury, there are crisis managers that are assigned to students, but there isn't any formalized follow-up process so that maybe 6 months down the line that the crisis manager would follow up with the student sort of at their discretion. That's something that has to be for me. And then the last thing is in the sub today, this is more just to clarify where we are with this, is the idea for a social justice requirement for the undergraduate degree. And sort of as it was conveyed in the sun today, it was merely an idea, and there was some initial research about it, but there has been no movement or really otherwise any research, the potential for it. And so that's, you know, where we are, just sort of research. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Adam. Mitch for the GPSA.
Yeah, thanks. So I think this was after our last meeting, although I can't fully remember. The GPSA, at our first meeting of this semester, we added a representative seat from the Geneva campus for their graduate students and also the new students at Cornell Tech. And so I was invited down by Dan Huttenmacher at Cornell Tech to meet with the students and kind of get them roped into the shared governance system that President Horton values and is set up here. And it covers Cornell Tech, both in terms of them paying the student activity fee and then being represented, and also their ability to get money back. They were obviously excited about getting money back for their student organization. So it was a really good trip. We also met Alex Forrest and I and Nighthawk and, yes, I think the three of us, met with the student leaders at Weill Cornell, and we met with their student overseer, who's in a similar position to Alex and Nighthawk, and then we met with their two graduate student executive council and medical student executive council leaders, and we're really trying to facilitate some better campus collaborations between Ithaca and essentially all the campuses in New York City, regardless of their official designation and position in the university. So that's really exciting. We've mentioned this and talked about it with President Gordon. He's really excited about that. At our last GPSA meeting, which was last Monday, we basically discussed a couple sections of the Graduate Community Initiative, which, for those of you who haven't heard my multiple spiels about this document, this is our strategic plan for the graduate and professional student community, focusing on these 8 different topic areas. So last week we talked about career resources and about family services. And I know that a lot of these issues are crossed from the Graduate and Professional Student Assembly into areas that the Employee Assembly and the Faculty Senate, although I'm not sure how the Faculty Senate really works, to be honest, and the Undergraduate Student Assembly might dovetail on some of the topics that we're discussing. So as things roll out and as things get approved as part of our process, I'll bring them up here. And I'd be glad to make a presentation after we've had the March 25th meeting. And maybe we can kind of find some common areas that maybe the UA could work on, they could work on across assemblies. And then lastly, I just wanted to, this is a more personal update, but I think it's relevant to our discussion today. I have previously served as the co-chair of the Rental Housing Advisory Commission for the city, and I'm still serving on that, but I stepped down because the mayor asked me to be on the Board of Public Works. So I'm serving in that capacity in addition to everything else today.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mitch. Tanya's not here, so would any employee be willing to give us an update?
Sure, I can. We've had 2 open forums on the response to the employee survey from Salt County Student Connect, and the attendance has been somewhat sparse, but it's offered some nice conversation and really good feedback from there. We have 1 more scheduled for later on in this month, and we hope to wrap up our recommendations soon. At our last meeting, we discussed the employee assembly election, and the election time for the country for submitting to be a candidate had passed, and
you know, all the candidates are running on votes. So we decided not to hold an election, but we'll get the word out that we're looking for maybe four more spots. And we hope to get them filled on an ongoing basis quickly soon. And we also talked quite a bit about the workday program that's going to be implemented soon by the university. And the major concern there was employee bonus that will be available to people to see in the system. And people voice a lot of concern when they're comfortable having their photo out for everybody to see.
Could you expand a little bit more on that for those who may not be familiar with what the Workday program entails?
Sure. The Workday system is going to be replacing, I believe, three other systems that are currently used by the university and bring a lot of the employee information under one umbrella and also offer much more reporting and information to supervisors and managers regarding what type of labor is going into what projects and how, where they are on that. In addition to that, the health group is that it will also create a better place to go and do more networking across the campus with different departments. And in doing that, having employee photos come up, I've seen a demonstration that looks awesome. It's a nice little wheel that comes up and everything fits you there, it fits you there. But people are having a real issue with that. So we're currently trying to schedule a demonstration for the group to raise and look at it and release it over to see. Demo, has anybody else seen the Workday demo?
It's just primarily a privacy issue. They just, they think, I mean, what's the primary concern in terms of?
That's a really great question. These are your staff ID.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
I think a lot of times people might feel that it may lead to if someone's applying for a position and someone's going there and now see your photo and maybe guess your age, among other things.
And may I just say, I think as an advisor to undergraduates, I think we're not supposed to share pictures of any of our advisees because it's private. So I'm wondering where the university as a whole fits into that framework, because it sounds like it doesn't.
Sorry, the concern of undergraduates comes out of a legal regulation from the FERPA, I believe. Then the students that have some sort of connection over what the university can release them to have. But I'm sure there are also regulations for employees that are different than FERPA.
Again, we're very interested to meet with HR.
Thank you for going into detail on that.
Then you're good. We
have a resolution right now on the table too that's a follow-up resolution basically towards the employee engagement survey asking for a little bit more specific, more structured follow-up from Dean's unit and department heads where they would be having to submit something formally to either the president or the provost and there'd be some measures of accountability because right now sort of one of the sentiments that we're getting amongst the assembly and some of our constituents is that there's been sort of a lack of follow-up or follow-through in various departments or units or colleges. So we wanted to put something a little bit more formalized in front of the president and Mary Opperman to get a little bit more of a specific answer and game plan put together. I could give a CJC meeting update.
Sure.
Can
we do that after the reports of the assemblies? Yeah, I imagine so. Thank you, Greg and Bridget and Alex for the information. Dean Burns is not here either, so is any faculty available to give an update? Hi, Bob.
So I did get a report, which is to report that Joe Burns mentioned last time about having to do with the Hope Plaza confrontation. And James Mingle, who's the counsel for the plan, has written about a 12-page report on his findings, and that is circulated to the Senate members. And it does involve the observation that the Codes and Judicial Committee will probably have some work to do on this. Maybe that's a segue to what you think. I was just guessing what you might say, but as it stands, the campus code of conduct is unclear as to several key points that were revealed in the panel of those confrontations, I guess they were, in Hope Plaza.
Any further updates from the faculty? All right, we'll move on to committee updates. Greg?
Tuesday, the 19th of February at 4:30 in B12 Day Hall, we'll have our first CJC meeting of the semester. I'll pass the information and pass it out to the appropriate listservs. I'll be working with Mary Beth Grant in the next couple of days to get some information put together, so we'll have some lively discussion, I'm sure, at some point about those things. But that's really all I have. Basically, so everybody knows, our meetings are on opposite UA Tuesdays at the same time at 4:30. Location to be determined as meeting dates rotate.
Okay. Thanks, Brad. Bridget, do you have anything?
I don't have anything from the Infrastructure Committee other than, as Adam had mentioned, the revolving green fund. Vice President was wonderful news, and waiting to hear from some of the participants moving forward once they meet with the sustainability group. I wanted to mention, if I may, real quickly, some of the items that have been brought up regarding suggestions for further charges. I'm currently not seeing any that like, truly fit the Infrastructure Committee. I know that Program House, houses were mentioned, off-campus housing, that seems more like a planning committee, the campus planning committee area. Correct me if I'm wrong. Same with, you know, some of the safety issues off-campus, there's the university public safety committee.
Well, my understanding was that safety issues would fall under your more of your jurisdiction. I'm pulling it up right now.
Sure.
Environmental impact, transportation, and commuter policies, which I think because the safety issues and any other topics seem relevant to campus infrastructure, which
right.
The issue of like the camera and safety, those sorts of issues.
On campus, but I mean, some of the off-campus safety issues have been coming up, and
yeah.
I believe we're going to be talking about off-campus later.
Yes.
And parking, I haven't heard any issues there, but some of these attachments.
You said the campus welfare committee?
Yes.
That sounds better.
I would have put the off campus housing in the campus welfare myself, but whoever takes it up, I'm sure nobody here will object if they do it.
I think that what should also be pointed out is that the key issues I identified were not necessarily for targeting a specific committee or anything or trying to pass the blame on a particular committee. It was more to understand that there are these issues that are on campus that people have been talking about that as the university assembly we should try to address as a body.
And I'm just looking for clarification.
Yeah.
You know,
it was more that, as Ari pointed out, and correct me if I'm wrong, that we should not necessarily put the burden of proof or the burden on the committees to be the only people generating resolutions, that there are resolutions that affect the campus as a whole that need to be addressed and aren't being addressed in a timely issue. And I believe that this was a point that, Jim, you brought up last time, then we should, you know, get the ball rolling. So.
Don't make a resolution where one isn't needed, but I suspect that there are many opportunities out there that we have to engage.
Thank you for
taking it.
No.
That's okay.
That's fine. And we have nothing from the Campus Welfare Committee. So moving on to the business of the day. We have a resolution on the table, Resolution 4, calling for the need for affordable, quality off-campus housing. We also have Julia Page from the off-campus housing office here for answering any questions. I will open this up for discussion.
Well, can I present the resolution first?
Yeah, I was going to say that next.
Great. So, basically, this is sort of targeting an issue that I thought really addresses a lot of our different assemblies. We all need some place to live, right? And there, I know from the students and from the graduate students and from staff perspective, a lot of staff have to commute from outside of Ithaca because there aren't affordable housing opportunities within Ithaca, or there's a very limited aspect of them. Graduate students have the same sort of issues. And Julie actually presented in front of a leadership breakfast, and she really covered a lot of the things that her office is working on, working with landlords in Ithaca, really going out of your way to sort of build these systemic relationships with the landowners' associations and that sort of thing, which I think is really commendable, and I really appreciate that you do that. So this is sort of like lending support to what your office is already doing and sort of identifying that there are these broad-ranging issues that go outside of campus and really are focused on off-campus housing. So a lot of the facts and figures I took from the Tompkins County Planning Department. Thanks again for Mitch for your help on this, and sort of just identified, for instance, that there people are commuting from outside of Ithaca, and part of the reason for that is that there aren't quality and affordable housing. I don't need to reread the whole thing for you, but I also tried to identify that students are having difficulty, I mean, lining up outside in sort of what I would only do that for like a Star Wars movie to sign leases. And I'm just saying. Don't put that on the record. Please do it.
But we all remember it.
In any case, and just sort of commending the off-campus housing, identifying that we need to continue building these sort of relationships with the organizations in the community, the town of Ithaca, Cayuga Heights, College Town. There are all these different governmental bodies that we can be working with. And further, again, commending the office for their work, encouraging the university to allocate more resources to the off-campus housing office, continuing to build these relationships with local homeowners. And part of that is because I think that through your efforts to build these relationships with local homeowners, that will really help us influence the need.
We're hoping that.
We're hoping, right, for quality and well-maintained housing. And then also continuing to work with the City of Ithaca for stricter guidelines to increase the quality of housing. I know that's a little bit much more difficult.
Yeah.
But
and then also because we work beyond the city, like at least
yeah.
the city, we at least can refer to the building department,
mm-hmm.
but outside of the city, we don't have that backup.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then also just continuing also your work with students and staff and graduate students and everybody of all walks of life really on campus to educate about renters' rights and also encouraging them to access these resources of maintaining existing housing quality.
Can I add
yeah.
to that? So I think with this resolution, get that, and again, my background is in city planning, so I deal with these kind of issues all the time, is that housing in Ithaca and in Tompkins County is really essentially just a market that we all participate in and we all have to participate in. We all know of the problems that are in this market. The fact that median rent in this county is like $900-some, whereas in Schuyler County or Cortland County, it's somewhere in the order of $500-600 based on the census.
that, you know, housing is very expensive in this county, and the ability to change that does not lie in any one body, whether it's the city, whether it's the county, the state. I mean, there is no one that can say the median rent should be $500. And so it's a complex issue that we have to deal with. And I, you know, thank Liz for bringing this resolution forward, and I was happy to work with her on it. And I think what this really gets at is the fact that there is this issue of affordability, and one of the things that Cornell can do to address the issue of affordability is to essentially use the power of the university. We have a community relations department. Gary Stewart is the director, head, I'm not quite sure what his title is. And, you know, he has the ability to meet with pretty much anyone in this community and to help affect change and help affect those particular things that will address the issues of affordability. And so this resolution first starts out by saying, Cornell, you should make this on your community relations agenda as a priority. And then secondly, something else that's prevalent in this housing market is a lack of information. You know, particularly among undergrads, no offense, I'm not calling you out, but it's the first time you've ever rented. It's the first time that undergrads have dealt with a lease, besides the one that they signed for Cornell. And so there is a lack of ability to get information in this housing rush that the whereas clause starts in line 29 addresses, and then I'm sure Julie will talk about if she's asked a question about it. and so this also, what the resources that the off-campus housing office and I'm not sure if you're still call yourself that or what it really is, but the off-campus housing office, lowercase or uppercase, deals with is providing information to students who become renters. And so this resolution gets at those two pieces, using influence of Cornell to affect affordability and providing additional information so that consumers, i.e. the students and the staff who need that particular help, can make better decisions. One other little thing, the term affordable housing is one that we mean definitely in lowercase terms. If you start talking about affordable housing, it typically conjures up a notion of Section 8 or low-income housing, but we mean that in this resolution to be just housing that is affordable. So please be aware of that. That's not to say that there are not members of our community that do need Section 8 housing, that do qualify for it, that do take resources in this community that offer those, you know, official affordable housing programs. Those are important too, but we mean housing that is affordable.
Thank you. The speaker list is now open. We have Greg, Adams, and Bridget.
You said only Bridget.
Yes.
I think this is a good discussion to bring up. I guess my first question would be for Julie. When you talk with the landlords association, things like that, and you talk about rents and things like that, is there, you know, what sort might be the number one reason why they say rents are where they're at?
Well, it's interesting you asked that, fact, right? Because it came up at our last landlords meeting, and it's what they believe that they have to pay. So right now, they were talking, actually the subject of the last landlord's meeting was assessment and how their buildings and their properties are all going to be reassessed and probably at a higher level. And one landlord who actually rents a lot of students that we work with pretty regularly said, well, we're going to have to turn over that cost to renters. So it's what they feel that their property value, they're going to assess that and what they have to pay in taxes.
So my question or point that I would throw out is, should we be addressing through this resolution, if we do want the university to put resources towards off-campus housing, increasing our payments in lieu of taxes, which is a touchy or sticky subject, but I, as a member of the Landlords Association and renting to students, you know, I absolutely sort of fall into line with that logic, I guess.
So I think it's one that, you know, maybe we can consider addressing, because I would be interested to see the median rent rate as compared to the county tax rates as well, and see how much difference there actually is. So I think one of the things we're asking to do is we're asking business owners to basically lower their share that they get to take home to pay their rent, essentially to provide more affordable options. So I think it's a much larger issue that we'll have to spend a lot more time on, but I think that there's some very key points that we should make sure we consider in the whole big picture.
There's a speaker.
Oh, the speaker. Oh,
yes.
Okay.
I should make sure in this we do include staff, because this is something that's come up a lot about affordable lowercase housing for staff.
Yeah, and there are a lot of staff that have to commute from quite a ways away.
Can I? Am I allowed speakers list or respond or? I was asking if I could, can I either be added to the speaker's list or can I respond? Can she respond? Heatherly? Can Ari?
I want to ask people to go with the rest of their time.
Sorry.
I'll add you to the
if it's relevant to you, like, okay. Clarification, then I forget my
stuff. All right, Liz. So, first of all, that's one of the, with recognition that this is a an issue that impacts everyone, that's the line 26 to 27, specifically I identify faculty, staff, graduate students, and students. And to your point about not putting the onus basically on landowners, one of the reasons why we put the Office of Government and Community Relations as the first resolve clause is because while I'm not sure it's within our power to say thou shalt give more taxes, I think by identifying that it's this issue of our relationships with the local governments and the local townships and that sort of thing that really impacts the rent in this area, that it's not just the landlords, but it's this, you know, very mixed and complicated issue. That was kind of what I was trying to tackle in that first resolve clause. But I really I agree with what you're saying. There's no particular body that is it's this complicated network that Mitch knows a lot better than I do. But Adam?
I really like this resolution. I think that first of all, I also like St. Julian's and Austin Housing because I know that SA members have been working a lot with you over the past, you know, this last semester, the semester before, and this semester. I really like the resolution for a couple reasons. One, I think that the housing in college towns, which is one of the primary places for undergraduates, is extremely high, and in a lot of cases, you're not paying for good living conditions. Some of the rents, they'll be like up to 12 people in a house, and it won't be great conditions, but it'll be like $900 a month. So it's really exorbitant, I think.
You're talking about per person?
Per person, yeah.
Make sure it's per person.
I mean, to be completely honest, the counter argument to that from landlords is that the students don't treat the houses that well. But, you know, I think there are merits to both arguments. The other reason I like it is because was it Liz who said that, or maybe it was Mitch actually, who said that undergraduates it's their first time renting.
Mitch.
Yeah, Mitch. Because a good example of that is recently my friend. He lived right outside of our house, our house. And when he had to get surgery and everything, and he just went to the landlord to get a copy of the lease to look into any sort of legal issues behind it, and he realized that he didn't even sign the lease to begin with. So the point, that's a pretty dramatic example, but the point is that undergraduates especially don't know as much about prime leases. They don't know how to negotiate leases.
they often get pressured into signing leases with terms that aren't fair in a lot of ways. So I think this is a great recommendation.
Thank you, Adam. Bridget?
I too agree that this is a great resolution, mainly because of call for more support for the off-campus housing office. We have seen a dramatic increase in information that's going on to students, their ability to assist students, and it needs to increase even more. One of the large parts that I would love to see is, I know this has come up, I know it's a tricky subject, but a rating system or a preferred landlord list. Now, we have preferred vendors that we use in our office. The Michael Fish Company is one of them. We also have Big Red Shipping and Storage, which is the preferred shipping company that we work with. So I'm not too sure why we can't dive into a system where the landlord can also be preferred and help some of the condition problems and also hopefully maybe have some of the issues with getting deposits back and working with the students. The second point I'd like to make is that graduate housing, we have been recently told by the university that currently there is no plan to rebuild on the board. As it starts to deteriorate more, it will be slowly taken offline. We understand the reasons why, that the parameters that they currently have to work with are that they can't take out a loan, even though they're an income enterprise, they can't take out a loan to build new graduate housing. I still cannot understand and wrap my head around this. Graduates need more housing so it can be affordable, the university can control that, and that needs to be, I don't know if it's added to this resolution, but it needs to be addressed, certainly, I think, by the university.
Thank you, Bridget. We have Mitch.
Quick follow-up. I think there's not a plan to replace, I think there is a capital P plan to replace, and there is a lowercase p plan to replace. But I definitely agree that there needs to be action taken by the assemblies that indicates the support. I was actually just writing the housing section of our strategic plan,
mm-hmm.
and included some pretty strong wording about how that should be done. I would definitely be willing to work with you on that going forward. The other thing I wanted to address, I'm slightly embarrassed, but I do have some proposed amendments to this. Small things. And yes, I did help write this, but didn't help edit it as well as I could have. So if you don't mind, I'm going to run through a couple edits to make this a stronger resolution. Line 3, I think we can change that whole whereas clause to say, whereas Cornell University is the largest employer in Tompkins County, and Cornell University students represent, we say, a significant portion of the population, blah, blah, blah. It's really hard to calculate that actual number. And if anyone wants to talk about demographic analysis and the census, I'd be happy to and talk to you all day about it, but it's a limitation. On line 6, I would add the very end of that line, who often live on lower or fixed incomes. Graduate students live on fixed income. Some of us do. In line 27, I would put graduate and professional students. I guess I would put that line 27. In line 41, I would say community and government organizations to clarify that. And line 44, I'd change line 44 to read Greater Tompkins County to satisfy the demand for housing from undergraduate students, staff, graduate and professional students, etc. In line 50, I would change allocate to allocate. In line, that's it. Those are my amendments.
Thank you, Mitch. I'm sure the resolution is much better written now and grammatically correct. Any opposition to the revisions Mitch have proposed?
I have one in, well, not on the screen, but line 42,
TWN of Ithaca, should be town of Ithaca?
It's on the current document, there is the first town of Ithaca.
Okay. And line 12, we're quoting a study that says we're going to grow between 2006 and 2014. We're in 2013. I don't have a replacement, but that statistic should now have some semblance in reality. Between 2006 and 2014, 2013, we should actually have a growth projection.
I would object to that particular amendment because there is no other study.
I'm sure there is.
Yeah.
I'm
sure real data. We don't.
This is where I'm not sure it's helpful because at this point, facts. I mean, it doesn't hurt it. Nobody, everybody's going to move on to the rest. I'll see if any might.
All right. Would you like to stay on the speakers list?
Yes, please.
All right. Rom?
I was just going to comment on I like it. I think it's a good idea. I think there's some things that should be discussed in this group that could probably directly impact this even more rapidly. The assessments are high because the income is high. So if landlords have high income generating properties, their assessments will be high. The primary reason the incomes are high is because it's the desirable place primarily for undergraduates to live. In other words, the university could directly impact the market by just deciding, for instance, that it wants to implement plans in which they would actually draw more undergraduates to campus. More undergraduates stay on campus, the fewer opportunities for landlords to draw big rents, their assessments would go down, and you should expect to see that the rents would at least stabilize. They probably wouldn't go down. So there are all kinds of ways. I mean, that was part of the reason. I mean, if I remember correctly, didn't the number of students that are actually retained on campus increase when wet campus was built?
No.
No? It didn't change at all?
Beds.
It was just fixed beds. But if we had housing that students felt was desirable on campus, that would actually directly impact the number of people in town.
There's a high demand for that type of housing on campus.
That's right. And I think this also goes back to infrastructure questions. When you look at the average employee, so we're talking about a mid-level sort of staff position, many of those individuals commute 20, 30 miles from campus because that's where the affordable housing is. So they have affordable housing, but actually many of them don't actually do the calculation and realize that the cost of fuel to get back and forth to campus actually offsets that. So in a way, if the unit, and this is something for undergraduates to consider in terms of how the student assemblies, how they actually address their constituents. When students want to live in college town, they're affecting the livelihood of staff because they drive them out of town, basically. And in a way, part of the education process that has to go on in campus is at different levels. The administration, in terms of increasing student housing availability on campus, trying to convince students that when they live off campus, they're affecting the community at large. And many of those people within that community do not have the income that their parents and the other people supporting them have. So, it's fun to live in college town, but basically what you're doing is you're affecting the staff on campus because they don't necessarily have as deep pockets as you do. As a student, $900 for a bedroom. Just imagine. $1,500 for some of those places in the newer buildings. And that's what students have to think about. And I think that's going to be much more difficult. I don't know if the student assembly has actually sat down and actually, maybe what we should have is some sort of initiative where we have a student assembly consider this issue and talk about the impact students have on the community at large in terms of housing, in terms of green commuting and things of that sort, because they do have a direct effect. And there is an initiative on the part of the university to build what we might call affordable housing for staff, right? Isn't there a new building that's going to be constructed soon instead of apartment buildings in town? Right?
There is some units going up off of
Bell Sherman area or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, so the university has actually made steps, but I think probably you'd have more success if you could get students to start to have an initiative where they actually think about their place in the community and how they impact staff. And commuting and things of that sort.
Mm-hmm.
Has that ever been discussed on the part of the student assembly?
Yeah, it definitely has been. We partner with and partly kind of created
College Town City Council, which one of its focuses is to address those issues. It's definitely, you know, it's very difficult. They organized an event last fall. I think it was around Halloween, maybe.
Yeah, it was Parents Weekend.
Right, Parents Weekend.
Yeah, so they can help first year students.
Right, at the Firehouse in College Town. And it was a really successful event and brought together members of the community as well as students. There are a lot of students that attended, actually. Definitely an ongoing, you know, issue that we think about and try to address.
Yeah, I think as fuel costs increase, it's going to become a much more serious issue. And, you know, when you start to see gas at $5, $6, $7 a gallon, you'll probably see people trying to move back to town, and you'll probably see it in waves based on their income. Employees with a higher income will probably push students out of College Town. And there actually already are people who at least are working on getting students, pushing the margins of College Town back towards campus. And I think it may become a challenge for the university as a whole, because either rents will go way up for the remaining spots, or, you know, the competition is comes so intense, it just won't work anymore. So I think it's going to have a strong impact. That commuting infrastructure is going to have a big impact on how the housing works. Isn't that what's happening in most urban areas? Most urban areas are now being reclaimed by upper middle class incomes who want to be close to work so they can avoid, they can drive around in their Priuses and save money on gas. I have a Prius, that's okay.
Thank you, Ron. Alex?
Two things. The first is just a small potential amendment. Mitch, kind of off what you said, you changed line 44 so that it was housing from undergraduate students, graduate professional students later on.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to do the same in 26? Did you change 27 to graduate professional students? The line before says Cornell University students. Do you want to make that undergraduate students?
I didn't catch that yet.
For consistency?
Yeah.
Minor. The real question I have is, one of the things that's addressed here is the rush to find housing that many undergraduates go through, like the second day step on campus. So I guess this is directed to Julie. If the university were to give like more resources and to respond to this, what do you think your office could do to help deal with that issue?
So, I don't know what resources we'll do, but I'll tell you a little bit what we do do. Now, one thing that isn't addressed in here, what I've learned since I've been in this office, how much it also affects students who are already in apartments, because what I learned is students will come back the first week to move into their apartment, and already they're being approached by their landlord, oh, you need to sign for next year because I want to put this apartment on the market. And so it not only affects the students who are looking, but in fact, you can't even build a relationship with your landlord. And one thing we look at in the broad picture, what's the relationship between landlords and their students and students? Because we get information from the landlord, oh, the students cause us a lot of problems, they destroy apartments, they do all these things. Then we get information from students, oh, the landlord's bad because they won't fix things and all that kind of thing. And so one thing I've learned, I'm a renter, is when you have a relationship with your landlord or your property manager, you begin to respect each other as people, and that does not exist in our College Town apartments, except that there's a few landlords, there's one in particular that we know that really does wait till November before she puts her apartments up for on the market, and she does build a relationship not just with the students, but also with the parents. And then people develop a mutual respect. So one thing that we try to do when we're out there is not just to try to educate the students of, you know, wait to sign a lease, but we try to educate the landlords and say, you know, if you wait, you'll build a relationship with that student and maybe they won't do damage to your apartment because they respect you and know you. So that's the kind of work that we already do. We also do work with... you know, one thing that bothers us is that first-year students come to campus. They don't even know what's open to them, and they sign a lease. And again, they don't read the lease because they don't have the education of what to look for in a lease. And so we try to do a lot of education and outreach to the first year communities, and we do a letter to, it goes out in the parents' newsletter, we do a letter to parents to say, please, if your son or daughter comes to you and wants to sign a lease, please discourage them. And then we also do a letter to all first year students. So more than resources, we want ideas, and we also want to be able to, Denise and I are really happy to go out and do programs. So we write, I write a letter to our RHDs and say, and Assistant Deans on West, please invite us so we can be proactive and do our programs so that way students will know what to look for in a lease before they sign it. So I think resource-wise, what we would do is even have more available resources, people resources, to go out and do those programs.
Yeah, I think that all sounds great, and the more we can educate people, the better. It seems that it might be a bit soft to just tell people not to sign the lease up, because the realities are if they don't sign the lease, they're not getting good for the college town.
Yeah.
So are there steps we could take to change the reality of that?
Unfortunately.
Or is that where we need to start brainstorming?
And and unfortunately, it's kind of a seller's market, because the demand is so high to live on College Avenue. I guess, and this is my dream, but I feel like students have the biggest voice a lot. Like, you have the power. And my dream would be able to for students to use that power and go to all the new properties for just 1 year and leave those battered houses alone. Because, even talking to Graham Kurzlick about it, one of the hopes is some of the new properties will put pressure on the landlords who aren't keeping up their properties, because if students go out and rent the ones that are kept up and the newer ones, it will send a message, oh, I better upgrade my property or people aren't going to lease from me. It's really, you guys have so much power, but you all want to live right on College Avenue and Catherine Street and Linden Avenue.
So it's basic economics.
Right.
It's basic economics, and you guys control it. And if you guys actually sat down and thought about it, you'd be the ones that could drive this whole initiative.
I mean, I don't think we should pass the buck just to the.
The reality is that economics drives this.
You heard what he said. He said, if you wait, you don't get a good spot.
Exactly.
So there's desirability. You know, there's that desire to have a good location.
Yeah. And it's location more than the house.
More than the house. You know, people want to be on the corner of College and Catherine. You know, they'll pay $900 per duck.
You're right. But any economic system works in the same way. I mean, there are tons of examples where people can decide that they want to control a market. In other words, if the students collectively act, if they have a campaign, an education campaign, about why it's actually to their advantage to stay away from those houses, and it works, you as a landlord will do what?
They
clean up your apartment.
I mean,
fix up your
the
house.
Reality of that situation is it's never going to be in the interest of every student to collectively act to not live in College Town.
But remember, you're the SA, and part of your job is to educate your constituents and tell them how they can use their power and their influence to affect change.
In the interest of time, I am going to ask for any further speakers who want to be on the speakers list, and then I'm going to close the speakers list. And you are on there, Mitch. You are on there as well. Any other speakers? You're next. And the speaker list is closed. We are also going to try to keep our comments as short as possible, be concise. And we have Jim next.
All right, so I call this a motherhood and apple pie resolution. Nothing objectionable into it. It sounds great. It's a piece of paper. President Scorton will dutifully back it appropriately and send an email to the appropriate people. And then what? If you want this to be more effective, and I think it's overly broad at some levels because the process is so broad, but you should consider somewhere in the amendment designating a lead organization for pulling together the desperate pieces, saying that you would like a plan from this organization before the end of the semester, and you would like them to return with how the plan is going by the end of next semester, next year. In other words, Facebook, it's one thing to say, like, the Office of Government and Community Relations to do this piece. Where do we build in their request right now that they come back first term next year to tell us how they've gone and the problems they've had and how we can help them succeed with this? I don't mean to object to this, because I really don't. I like the idea of it. But if you, the University Assembly, want to actually shape this or make sure that the student voice, it doesn't lose its place among next year's issues or next month's issues, for that matter, you need to build a follow-up scheme in here that has somebody reporting back to you and somebody essentially overseeing it. And there's a couple of places it sounds like that might go. But I would invite these people to come and brief us on what they recommend we do, and then we need either support or amend that and follow up. You know, have them come and brief us on a semester basis and see where it goes. Else, this is nice. We'll all pound our gavels and do good things, but I don't think it. You know, more resources. We're not quite sure what that means. I guarantee you, this resolution is not going to give a dollar more than it's already being loaded yesterday in the budget system. As far as, you know, unless we're going to be more concrete, like they need another employee or something, and somebody can come and tell us what they may or may not be able to do. And then just one other hint, if this is resolution 4, and I don't recall we passing 1, 2, and 3.
They were last semester.
We did?
Yeah, it was all one meeting.
That's it.
All right, thank you, Jen. Mitch?
I'll first use that to move what you said in a way, and if I can paraphrase and put it in language, I would include a resolve clause after this first one on page 1. So we're in line 46. I would say resolve that the Office of Government and Community Relations report back to the University Assembly by the end of this semester with an update on their activities to increase the availability of affordable, well-maintained rental housing in the city.
You don't have to read that again. An update of their, say that again.
That they resolved that the Office of Government and Community Relations should report back to the University Assembly.
Yep.
By the end of this semester, spring semester.
Put the date of the final actual business meeting.
April 2030th, I think is the last one. Yeah, I know that actually.
Okay.
Report on their work to increase the availability of affordable, well-maintained rental housing in Ithaca and the greater Towns County, which is lines 43 and 44.
Okay.
That's my motion.
Thank you, Mitch. Randy.
Wait, that's my motion.
Sorry.
That's one.
Any opposition to Mitch's correction? I hear no opposition. Do you have any further?
Yes, I do. Can I ask Julie? I was actually going to mention this as well. In line 50, or old line 50, resolve, blah, 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 allocate more resources to your office. Mm-hmm. If you had a buffet of resources that we could include in this, whether it's staff, whether it's, you know, whatever it is, what would you choose from a buffet?
That's really hard. Because I've been thinking, when I read this, like, oh, what resources? I mean, obviously, with an additional staff member, like students, you know, we use our student staff also. Denise Thompson is the one who mainly meets with students on a daily basis. And there are some times during the school year, obviously, right now it'll start to get really busy because students will be going through the housing selection process on campus, and then they're going to not get what they want, so they're going to start looking off campus. We get busy in January when students first come back. I haven't got my security deposit. So definitely at different times of year, it would be nice to have an additional staff member, but we do use our students to advise students as well. The other piece is I feel like monetary resources, like when I go on to a lot of other off-campus housing websites at different universities, And one of the things I notice are their publications. And we don't necessarily have the resources to create the publications that we could come out of our office. And I, you know, glossy isn't always better. It's the content that really makes a difference, not necessarily how it looks, but things that we can take when we go to our programs to make it a little bit more cohesive. So that would be a financial piece that would really help us, you know, a little bit to be able to do a really nice publication from our office. But we do use a lot on the web. I mean, and the things about the web, at least, you can change things. Once things go in the glossy publication, you can't change things. So that's not always practical either. But I would say those are a couple things that I wish we could do a little bit differently.
Who's doing your webpage now? It used to be the Campus Life IT was doing it for many years because...
Did
you go to CIT? Or
yeah, no, SAS. IT still does our, like, when the landlord, the database, mm-hmm. that's still Tony.
And isn't there a need for an improved database? I just know that that was something that's been on the table for a long time that...
I think it's more, I don't know, Denise could answer those questions more on how that's going. I think
something we've heard from students and from parents and landlords.
Okay.
Just that they just kept hoping that we would really revamp that.
Okay. That's good stuff. Yeah. So the web.
So can I then make a motion or make an amendment, I guess they're all the same, that in the line 50 resolve clause, that we add, take away the period and add including but not limited to an additional staff member, additional student staff, and increased financial resources for communications and marketing.
Any opposition to the following amendment? I hear no opposition. Mitch, do you have any other amendments?
I'm good. Thanks, Jim.
And Randy.
I'd like to say that I think Ron nailed the whole point is that the median income of the parents of the students is so much higher than the median income of people in Compton County that that just sets everything. And I offer an experiment instead of this resolution. Of course, we won't make that trade. If the Cornell Admissions Office set their goals for a certain kind of diversity to make sure that the median income of the parents of the students match that of Compton's coming, we wouldn't have this problem.
Now parents pay for education. I think that's a pretty far out there stretch to say that all parents pay for education. And I think one of the things we do have is very much a economic diversity amongst our students. If you look at our sort of financial aid packages, and I think that's a bold assumption for us as an assembly to make that parents are footing the bill. But I can tell you my parents didn't foot my bill for my education at Cornell.
Yeah, but you have to admit, okay, if you look at the statistics, the answer is true. It sets the trend, and if I'm a low-income student at Cornell, I'm forced to deal with the market that I have that's been created. And so what the university does is they up your financial aid package so that you can compete in the market. In the long run, the way you're going to solve this issue, and I think it's particularly bad for graduate students, is by dealing with this whole issue of what you do with campus. Some campuses buy the off-campus housing, and they run it as part of the campus housing system. To me, that's the sort of analysis that should be directed. This should all be about what Cornell does in terms of its strategic goals for student residential life. If they're not thinking in the future, 20 years, 30 years from now, this will just get worse because there will be, you know, go talk to Graham. Graham Kirsten will be one of the first people to tell you the goal is to push the boundaries and force the university to react. And as you push the boundaries, the prices will go up, and eventually the university will have to react and start taking care of its own. In other words, students should be on campus as opposed to taking housing away from staff and community. Okay, I mean that's why I think it's nice, but I think it also skirts the issue that we're really trying to deal with. We're dealing with the situation, but we're not really trying to come up with a solution.
It's a common, I mean, in this discussion, whether it's down in the city at City Hall or mm-hmm. whether it's in College Town, it's an easy answer, if you will, to increase supply. So that's a very easy answer.
It is.
And I don't think that this resolution is not dealing with those things. Those are long term.
Mm-hmm.
The university has clearly stated it has debt concerns with taking on additional facilities. There's a common call among landlords
mm-hmm.
that if you want these problems to go away, increase the supply. Whereas I think that could be a solution, and it's based on very simple economics.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very complex.
It's very complex.
And I think this doesn't deal with those simple answers. So I guess I reject a little bit of what you're saying because I don't think it's that simple.
Oh, I don't think it's simple.
And
I don't think either of it's simple. I think this is more simple. Actually, that's my
deal. Is short term. This is a short term.
You got it. It's short term.
Yep.
And if we increase the resources to the office that weren't asked for, tuition will go up a little bit more, and then we'll have compounded this problem just a little bit, probably just to a penny, but. I think offering money when no money was asked doesn't particularly help even this issue.
I'm comfortable with that. That's why I read it.
Greg.
So I think the one thing that I would just ask is if we're asking for affordable housing for students, if we compare off-campus rates and on-campus rates, if my rough math is about right, it's about $37 a night to stay on campus in a single. So what the university is doing is it's matching the market mm-hmm. rates, and thus, as they set their rates, you know, a $900 versus an $1,100 a month apartment is much better deal to live in College Town. Plus, if you live on West Campus, you're forced to be on a house meal plan, which adds an additional $3,200 a semester to your bill. So I think if we're going to look for affordable housing, we need to look at it holistically. We need to look at it on campus, off campus. I do think there's some off campus issues with the way that landlords treat students and the relationships that we have. And I think Julie made a good point about if you get to know them on a personal level, you have that understanding, you have that relationship. And that's something that students and landlords both need to be coached through. So I think if we're going to look at affordable housing, it's just not off campus because our on campus rates are often higher than most of what's renting right now in the market, unless you're going to, you know, 312 or some of those other buildings in sort of the central core. My other thing that I would sort of throw out there is I would encourage that this maybe be a discussion that we just don't have today, but maybe we invite the Landlords Association of Tompkins County to come here, and maybe some folks from these various governmental and have sort of a forum, dedicate a meeting to sort of housing in general, invite campus housing and make it sort of a presence. You know, this is something we're going to spend 2 hours in a room and we want to throw some ideas out and we want to hear what people have to say, because I do think, to sort of Jim's point, this is nice and it says something. And I think with the changes, I haven't been able to keep track of all of them, but, you know, what's the action? What's the deliverable, what's the measurable piece to this? And then how is this maintained and carried through, rather than just saying there's something wrong with off-campus housing, which I think we all know that. And I think this is a great, great discussion to have, and one that we need to have. But I think we need to look at it a little bit more holistically and at a deeper level and with more time dedicated to it. Maybe it's the next meeting we try to invite some of these folks in and talk about it, because it's not just off-campus housing that's expensive. It's on-campus housing, which is just, if not more expensive, when you add the meal component. And then if you look at price per square foot, and what's much, much lower in College Town as opposed to on-campus with the size of a single, having lived on West Campus as a student. So I think we've got some work to do, and I think we're all ready to sort of roll up and get it done. So I don't want to see this die here, because as someone who represents a constituent group on campus as an employee assembly member, and then the university as a whole, I think it's important that we address this, and I also think it's important, being a landlord, that we address this and we take a stronger stance and we say something to the sort of slumlords, as they're called, that, hey, we're not going to put up with this. And a lot of it is how we vote with our dollars. So I think there's a lot of work that we should do and we should commit to doing, and if we're struggling to find things, maybe this is our cost for the semester, because I think it's a really good one, and I think something that could be a really long sort of lasting legacy for, you know, the sponsors of this and then us as an assembly. So I would encourage us to think, just before we vote on this, can we get a little bit more of the pieces of the puzzle put together, and can we come up with a richer resolution in a way that really that we're really going to get something out of.
Can I just say something briefly? That's one of the goals too of the College Town Student Council, is to create a better relationship between students and the landlords, and I think that's what they are.
Thank you.
But I think the thing to do is to remember that the focus shouldn't just be on the students. But the focus, you know, I'm not even speaking mainly about faculty, because I think most of them are in an income bracket where it's not really a serious issue. But it really is about staff. And if anything, you know, maybe one thing we could do to sort of help illustrate that is have staff that actually have to deal with it. You know, imagine being in building services and having to deal with your relatively low or food services, your low income, and then thinking about the commutes and some of the other issues. Compounded by the fact they don't have natural gas, they're using LP. Anybody want to calculate the number, you know, how much a billion BTUs of LP cost to keep your house warm? So that's something that has to be factored in, and it becomes a policy issue for the university. It should be something students should be concerned about, and you would hope that those sorts of, that kind of information impacts student behavior and university policy. And that's how you do it. I mean, this is primarily a student-driven initiative about local college town housing and whether or not it's affordable and of good quality. But in reality, college town actually impacts the larger community in terms of the pattern of renting that goes on there.
Okay.
Sorry. If I can just offer a suggestion about, even if there can't be a full meeting discussion about housing at the next meeting, we could certainly work on a resolution addressing one or more of those issues offline, and that could be referred to one of the UA committees. So that's one way that discussion could happen in depth without necessarily having to consume a meeting if other issues come up for the UA.
Kyle, and then Alex, you're the last speaker.
Okay, so I think Greg and Kim actually both had comments that better articulate what I was thinking about. In terms of this resolution, it gets a little bit too vague right now. It could use some more specifics, and it's something that, you know, would be worth really investing, this assembly investing more time in. In terms of moving it forward, moving forward on this topic, the two people I think might be useful for this assembly to hear from would be whoever's in charge of capital project finance in the senior housing department, to hear more about what the actual logistical challenges are to finding funding for other places from Maplewood, why we cannot build more on campus housing. Somebody who could speak intelligibly about that. And also be interested in from somebody in the city of Ithaca and their planning department. Because I know they have been making some progress in terms of removing some of the height limits on buildings downtown, and there has been quite a bit of new housing stock, at least relative to the rest of upstate New York, coming online in the last couple of years. Hear more about where they see the future of housing demand in the city going.
Can I respond real quick? To the issue that this is too vague or it doesn't have enough teeth, while it is part of a larger issue, as Mitch pointed out, this is a short-term way to address it and to sort of bring it up as a conversational piece and to identify it to a larger body that it's an important issue that we would like the university to address. So yes, it does not solve all of the problems. It's a very complicated issue, but this is sort of specifically identifying that the two campus offices that can really sort of address this issue and are addressing this issue. But again, I would reiterate, it's a short-term resolution. No resolution is perhaps going to, and in such a complicated issue, address every aspect of what is the housing issues in Ithaca.
Alex?
So I hear what you're saying, but my comment was actually exactly what Kyle's was, which is that I think there's nothing in here that's objectionable. I like whatever the phrase is.
Motherhood and apple pie.
I think that's great. But like when we pass a resolution, it's passed to President Gordon, and then he gives a formal response on it, and then here start working. And I just think we might want to be more specific before we start utilizing this. It sounds like there, if everyone has as much opinionated thought on this as it appears from this meeting, it seems like there'll be more resolutions coming down the pike on this. And I don't think it's wise for us to be sending President Gordon like another resolution about College Town every 2 weeks. So I would think, I think this has been great that this has come up, that it's kind of set a tone for things we want to work on, but I'm not sure that it's in our interest in terms of making our voices have the most impact to pass this today.
Can I ask a procedural question? We meet, I mean, I'm new, mm-hmm. so we meet every 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
I mean, one thing you could do as a body is actually create a group, a committee that actually focuses on this for, let's say, for the next few months. You know, offline, so to speak, that then presents progress, talks about progress, and then works towards building a more complex resolution. I mean, even if you do implement these short-term actions, your budget is set until July 1st. So anything you do will not have any effect whatsoever in terms of probably the budget decisions aren't even being made right now. So there's no real immediate need given what you really would like to do at this point. But it's kind of complex. And that part tends to be a little bit of a micromanagement, which I don't think you'd necessarily want to give to someone where you tell them, well, you need to hire somebody else. You know, there may be all kinds of ways of doing that. But I think this is a very complex issue and requires serious consideration across a broad constituent.
Can I, again, respond? First of all, this resolution isn't just about College Town. It's specifically very broad because I was trying to identify some way of acting and not forestalling because it is a complex issue, some way of acting that would affect staff, that would affect undergraduate students, that would affect grad students and professional students. So if it's not specifically targeting undergrads, and I understand that these various constituencies have somewhat different needs. So Julie works in an office that needs more resources, allocated towards it to sort of tackle these big issues. I'm not sure if we're the experts, well, maybe Mitch is, but we're the experts that would ideally, I didn't want to forestall action just because it is a complicated issue, since it is something that I think hasn't been tackled because it's a complicated issue.
And can I just say one thing? I think Gary Stewart needs to involve the conversation too, especially around the town gown stuff, because we can work on the College Town, well, not just College Town, but the Ithaca stuff. We're trying to even speak more to graduate students and professional students on our website and do more, reach out to the graduate school. But as far as town gown, I think it was really helpful to have him to be able to talk to us.
All right. Is there a motion on the floor? Mitch, you do something.
Move to call a question.
Sorry, what did you say?
Move to call the question.
Move to motion to vote. Second. Any oppositions to resolution 4? Oh, we have to vote. Sorry, I'm new to this too. But if you move to call the question, there's a second. The question has been called, so we vote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
all those in favor.
All those in favor. Raise your hand.
Of this resolution.
Of this resolution.
As amended.
As amended. Raise your nameplate or your hands. 2. All who oppose resolution 4, as revised. Raise your hand or nameplate.
don't vote, then you don't say.
Sorry, I just want to ask a question because it seems like there wasn't, maybe folks weren't following along when you had the call for the question, so maybe we should just review that parliamentary procedure again. Yeah, nobody's objecting to that. Okay. So when somebody moves to previous question, that means they want to end debate and vote on the resolution, and you have to have two-thirds of the room agree to do that before it proceeds. Now, what Joy did was ask if there was any opposition to moving the previous question, which is another procedure where you basically say, instead of asking people to vote on whether to end debate, does anybody object? Because if nobody objects, then it's unanimous. There's no need to have a vote. So I don't know if...
Your point of order, though?
Yeah?
Do not our bylaws require us to advertise a resolution for at least 1 week before we vote on it? Final form of a resolution for comments by outside agencies, including the government, community office, and others that might be affected of it?
I don't know that it requires that, but that would certainly be... I don't believe it's required. I believe it's recommended.
So, I don't recall that.
So I'm saying, if you don't think that something is ready to vote on, the correct course of action would be to object to the calling of the question and then vote again pending debate.
I think you should vote no because you're just, then it's still on the table in discussion.
No, if you vote it down, it's off the table. It's gone.
If you don't vote on it, you just
vote
back.
No to calling the question.
Yes. So you want to vote against bringing it to a vote if you're not prepared to vote on it.
Okay.
That's the important thing.
Or you can
thing.
Vote to table it.
Or table it. That's right.
Then it's got to pass.
Well, yeah, but first you have to vote not to end debate so somebody else can
yeah.
table it.
Okay, so we're voting to end debate. Right?
Okay.
Voting to end the debate.
Repeat that procedure with that extra information because I'm assuming most people did not want to vote it down.
Okay. Motion to table the discussion to this resolution? No?
Yeah,
yes?
We're still right? voting. We're still voting to end debate.
Voting to end the debate. All those opposed or all those in favor?
Of ending debate.
Of ending the debate.
Ending debate and moving to a vote.
And moving to a vote. All those opposed?
Can I point a marker? It seemed like there was uncertainty about those voting in favor of this. Can you ask? Can
no,
you take the vote again?
What are they voting on, I guess?
There was uncertainty on, you asked for those in favor, and I saw a card go up and down.
From what
so
I,
I'm,
yeah.
I'm wanting a revote.
Okay, we could do a revote. But for clarification, we're voting to whether or not bring this resolution to a vote.
Right.
Yeah. So all those in favor of any of this debate and bring this resolution to a vote. That was actually less than what we had before. All those opposed? Yeah. I guess the rest of the
team. I'm going to make another point of order because I think this will be good education because these motions will come in handy for other resolutions, too. So there are several options now. You can continue debating.
Mm-hmm.
There can be another move the previous question to bring it to a vote. There can be a motion to table it to the next meeting.
You can move it to the next meeting without voting to end debate.
Mm-hmm.
If you get to the end of a meeting, you can just table it until the next meeting. You don't have to end debate on it. You didn't need a separate vote to end debate.
Yeah,
but I know that.
Mitch was actually calling the question, though, so that's why we had to call
that.
Right.
That was, I thought, voted down.
Yes. So
we're in
debate. I'm explaining what motion would be in order right now. So
right.
One motion would be to table it to the next meeting, which means we don't want to talk about it anymore right now. We want it to be on the agenda next time. Another one. Another one would be a motion to commit, which is a motion to give it to a committee to study further and then report back on it. Those both would be in order.
I motion to commit for the Communication Infrastructure Committee. Unfortunately, Bridget still stuff out. I feel like it fits under their purview since it is a infrastructural, even if it is not a campus infrastructural. Is there a second to that motion?
Mm-hmm.
All in favor of Eleven. All those opposed to committing?
Yeah, really. Anything else we can give her?
Yeah.
Motion to adjourn.
We have to.
Second. Adjourn the meeting.
It depends on when you table it, too. So in some assembly,
at 6:02.
Killing something.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.